This morning is our final instalment of Nehemiah, so I'll hand over to the screen to hear what we've got our Bible readings for this morning.
Nehemiah chapter 6 verse 1 to chapter 7 verse 3. Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, and the rest of our enemies heard that we had finished building the wall and that there were no gaps left in it, although we still had not set up the gates in the gateways. So Sanballat and Geshem sent me a message suggesting that I might meet with them in one of the villages in the plain of Ono. This was a trick of theirs to try to harm me. I sent messengers to say to them, I am doing important work and can't go down there. I am not going to let the work stop just to go and see you. They sent me the same message four times, and each time I sent them the same reply. Then Sanballat sent one of his servants to me with a fifth message, this one in the form of an unsealed letter. It read, Geshem tells me that a rumor is going around among the neighboring peoples that you and the Jewish people intend to revolt, and that this is why you are rebuilding the wall. He also says you plan to make yourself king, and that you have arranged for some prophets to proclaim in Jerusalem that you are the king of Judah. His Majesty is certain to hear about this, so I suggest that you and I meet to talk the situation over. I sent a reply to him. Nothing of what you are saying is true. You have made it all up yourself. They were trying to frighten us into stopping work. I prayed, but now, God, make me strong. About this time, I went to visit Shemaiah, the son of Deliah and grandson of Mehetabel, who was unable to leave his house. He said to me, You and I must go and hide together in the holy place of the temple and lock the doors, because they are coming to kill you. Any night now they will come to kill you. I answered, I am not the kind of person that runs and hides. Do you think I would try to save my life by hiding in the temple? I won't do it. When I thought it over, I realized that God had not spoken to Shemaiah, but that Tobiah and Sanballat had bribed him to give me this warning. They hired him to frighten me into sinning so that they could ruin my reputation and humiliate me. I prayed, God, remember what Tobiah and Sanballat have done and punish them. Remember that woman Noadiah and all the other prophets who tried to frighten me. After 52 days of work, the entire wall was finished on the 25th day of the month of Elul. When our enemies in the surrounding nations heard this, they realized that they had lost face, since everyone knew that the work had been done with God's help. During all this time, the Jewish leaders had been in correspondence with Tobiah. Many people in Judah were on his side because of his Jewish father-in-law, Shechaniah, son of Aram. In addition, his son Jehohanan had married the daughter of Meshulam, son of Bechariah. People would talk in front of me about all the good deeds Tobiah had done and would tell him everything I said, and he kept sending me letters to try to frighten me. And now the wall had been rebuilt. The gates had all been put in place, and the temple guards, the members of the sacred choir, and the other Levites had been assigned their work. I put two men in charge of governing the city of Jerusalem, my brother Hanani and Hananiah, commanding officer of the fortress. Hananiah was a reliable and God-fearing man without equal. I told him not to have the gates of Jerusalem opened in the morning until well after sunrise, and to have them closed and barred before the guards went off duty at sunset. I also told them to appoint guards from among the people who lived in Jerusalem, and to assign some of them to specific posts, and others to patrol the area around their own houses.
Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for your word to us this morning. Lord, we pray as we look at this passage together that by your Spirit you will speak to us. Speak into the situations that we face at the moment. Inspire us and challenge us. Help us to hear your voice to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, we're coming to the end of our series in Nehemiah. We've journeyed with him from the moment he heard about the wall being in ruins. And then we heard today, verse 15, that after 52 days of work, the entire wall was finished. Nehemiah had taken the vision that God had given to him and turned it into a reality. He came up with a strategy. He worked in partnership with the rest of the people. He had confidence in God. He worked hard for justice and he persevered to the end. The wall was built and Nehemiah had also begun to rebuild the people into a community who lived to please God. Throughout Nehemiah's story, it is clear to see that he wanted the world to know the faithfulness and the power of God. It was God who'd given him the vision. And it was God who enabled the work to be completed. Time and time again, Nehemiah draws attention to the work of God in all that happened. And again, we saw that testimony today in verse 16, when he said, "Everyone knew the work had been done with God's help." Nehemiah had succeeded because God had been at the heart of the work. Without God, there would never even have been a vision to rebuild the walls. And without God, it would have been impossible to complete. You see, this work was all part of God's plan. And he enabled his plan to be accomplished. But as always, God chose to use the cooperation of an obedient servant to bring his plan into being. If you ask Nehemiah, he would always attribute his success to God. But in fact, Nehemiah himself played a crucial role in making that vision a reality. This was no easy task that Nehemiah had taken on. He'd been up against all kinds of obstacles. And as we saw from that reading, as the work neared completion, his enemies just pulled out all the stops to bring him down. But he persevered. He was determined that the work that God had called him to do would be finished. And he would not allow anything to deter him or waylay him in his task. If you want to persevere in something, you have to stay focused. Whether it's in training for a sport, revising for an exam, completing a project, if you allow your mind to wander from what you're trying to achieve, if you lose your focus, it's going to be pretty impossible to complete it. But we see here in chapter 6, even though all kinds of threats were thrown at Nehemiah, he remained focused on the work God had called him to do. The first four verses of chapter 6 tell us that Nehemiah's enemies tried to distract him from the work by calling him away. In fact, there was a more sinister plot going on. They knew that the wall was almost finished. They had seen Nehemiah wasn't just a building manager. He was a threat to them because he was an influential spiritual leader who was encouraging and inspiring the people of Israel to live for God. Now they knew by this stage there was nothing really they could do to stop the wall being built. But they could still get rid of Nehemiah. So they wrote to him, asking him to meet them. And they suggested a location that was somewhere between where they were and where Nehemiah was. So on the surface you would think, seems fair, meet halfway. But in fact, the area they'd suggested bordered hostile territory. And if his enemies planned to kidnap him or get rid of him somehow, this was the perfect place. It was a dangerous suggestion to meet there. But as far as Nehemiah was concerned, more than that, it would take his focus off the work. He was on a tight schedule. He couldn't afford to spend a day travelling there, another day meeting them, and another day travelling back. His enemies persisted. They wrote to him four times, but Nehemiah never lost his focus. He was resolute in his answer, confident it was the right decision, and he wasn't prepared to change his mind. I wonder if there are times for us when we find it hard to persevere because we've lost our focus. Perhaps you're struggling in your faith right now because there have been situations thrown at you that have caused your focus to stray from God. The Apostle Paul says, "Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith depends. He did not give up because of the cross. On the contrary, because of the joy that was waiting for him, he thought nothing of the disgrace of dying on the cross, and is now seated at the right-hand side of God's throne." When life is hard, when we doubt, when we find it hard to see God in the midst of our pain, more than ever, we need to try and stay focused. God knows and understands what we're going through. And rather than allowing those things to distract us, we need to hold on to our faith and trust in God to strengthen us through these difficulties. We also need to remember what it is that God has called us to do. You know, God will never tell us to do anything that goes against his word or his values or his characteristics. So that's a good starting point to help us to know whether or not something is from God. And if it is from God, like Nehemiah, we need to be resolute in our answer and stay focused. Some of you will know that my start in ministry was with an organization called Youth for Christ. And when I was leading the team there, I felt very strongly that God had given me a vision to extend our ministry in a new way. At that time, most of our work was focused either in schools or in churches. But I felt we needed to add a third strand to our work, and that was to spend time with young people where they were, hanging out on the streets. Now, the aim behind this work was to build relationships with the young people, to get to know them in their terms and on their territory. It wasn't to be street evangelists. It was not about approaching the young people and saying, "Can I tell you about Jesus?" It was relational. And I felt very strongly that although ultimately we would love to tell the young people about Jesus, actually it was really important that the only time we did that was if those young people ask us about our faith. Until they did, I felt God was calling us to reflect Jesus through the care and the compassion and the love that we showed to them. Now, this kind of street work was an area of ministry in which I had no experience at all. But I knew there were a couple of people from local churches who had been involved in a similar project many years ago. So as I began to put the plans together, I went to see these people to see if they would be prepared to be a part of the project. I'd already got a number of volunteers keen to join the team, but I was really looking for these experienced guys to come on board and even to help me lead it because they'd been there before. When I met with them to discuss it with them, I was really surprised by their response. They did say they'd be happy to help. They said they'd even be prepared to lead the project, but not on the terms that I had set out. They felt strongly they would only be a part of the project if it was purely evangelistic. They only wanted to do the work if they could approach the young people and begin to talk to them by saying, "Can I tell you about Jesus?" Now, I am sure there are times when this approach may well work, but I was convinced this was not the vision that God had given to me. I can't explain to you how I felt, but I knew so strongly that was not what God had said. In actual fact, the young people we were meeting on the streets, they were age 13, 14, 15, we already knew most of them through the work we did in school. And they knew we were Christians. We didn't need to tell them that. And if we went to them on the streets and said, "Can I tell you about Jesus?" And they said, "No," well, then what would we do? That would be the end of the conversation. But if we spent time with them, chatting about what they wanted to talk about, and waited for them to ask, I knew we'd have a much greater opportunity to share God's love with them. But I went away from that meeting really disappointed and quite confused. I didn't know what to do because I really respected these guys and I valued their experience. And yet in my heart, I was convinced about the vision that God had given to me. So eventually, I contacted them and I thanked them for their willingness to help, but I said that I was convinced the project had to be run that way, and because of that, I knew that they wouldn't join. I knew that it was important that we stayed focused on that relational aspect of the work, because I knew that was what we as a team had been called to do. And I was so nervous that first Friday night we went to the high road to meet the kids. Now, I'm pleased to say that that work did take off. It was only a couple of weeks before those young people started saying, "So why are you here? And why do you believe in God anyway?" And we had amazing conversations really quickly on. And eventually, some of those guys came back to me and said, "Actually, can we be involved in the project? And can we do it in the terms that you suggested? Because we can see what's happening and what God is doing through that work." Now, obviously, my situation was a bit different to Nehemiah. They weren't the enemy. They were good guys that just wanted to work differently. But I have to say, it was really hard for me to stand up to more experienced workers and to stay focused on the vision that God had given to me. Like Nehemiah, we need to persevere in our faith, in our work, in our ministry, in all aspects of our life. We need to focus on God's call to us. And we need to remember that we're not battling on our own, but we can pray to God to help us through the challenges and the difficulties that we face. After their first four attempts failed, Nehemiah's enemies tried a different tactic. This time they sent another letter, but it was unsealed so that it would be read by many people on the journey. That way they could spread lies about Nehemiah and they could give him a bad name. What they said was totally untrue. But Nehemiah knew that if these rumours spread, it would cause a lot of trouble for him and ruin his reputation. Now, isn't the natural reaction in a situation like that to want to defend yourself? Don't you want to just stand up to tell people the truth and make sure that no one believes the lies? But Nehemiah reacted in a very different way. He replied to the letter, recognizing it was a plot to frighten him away, and then he prayed to God to make him strong. What an example Nehemiah is when people try to attack your character and lie about you. He didn't retaliate to the lies. He stayed calm and controlled, and he asked God to help him, and then he entrusted the outcome to the Lord. Nehemiah knew that God is just, and he knew he'd bring justice in the end. But we all know that, don't we? Knowing that and acting on that are two very different things. And it took a lot of courage for Nehemiah to act in that way. There's a story of a farmer whose mule fell into a dry well. When he discovered what had happened, he decided he'd never be able to get the mule out. And actually, it really wasn't worth the effort to rescue it. So he called some friends together to help bury the mule and put it out of its misery. Initially, the mule was very upset. Wouldn't you be if you were stuck in a well and people started throwing dirt on top of you? But then the mule decided that every time a load of dirt landed on his back, he'd shake it off and step on top of it. And that's what he did. He shook off the dirt, stepped on top of it. Shook off the dirt and stepped on top. And he continued shaking it off while the farmer and his friends tried to bury him. And hours later, one very exhausted mule stepped out of that well. What had been intended to bury him had actually helped him. Now, I'm sure there have been times for us when we know that people have spoken about us behind our backs. Maybe they've gossiped, they've lied, they've misrepresented us and tried to bring us down. Maybe there are people you know, colleagues and associates, who, if you're honest, you feel uneasy about trusting when they say something nice about you because you know the chances are they're probably causing trouble behind your back. Can I encourage you to follow Nehemiah's example? Don't retaliate. Pray to God for help so that you can continue to live in an upright and godly way, so that you have the strength to trust God to vindicate you and bring justice. Pray and ask God to help you to shake off the dirt that is thrown at you. Then rise above it and continue to live for him. Nehemiah stayed focused as he persevered in rebuilding the wall. And he kept on trusting God and asking for his help in order to succeed. And through his relationship with God, he was able to discern how God wanted him to respond to each situation. The enemy's final attempt to attack Nehemiah was the most subtle of all. Nehemiah went to visit a friend, and he knew this friend to be a man of God. And the friend told him that his enemies were coming to kill him soon, and they needed to run and hide together in the holy place of the temple. On the surface, it seems like a reasonable suggestion. Why would you not trust a good friend that is a man of God? But there were alarm bells ringing for Nehemiah. Nehemiah knew no one is allowed in the holy place of the temple except for the priests. And Nehemiah wasn't a priest. So if he went there and he hid there, as his friend has suggested, he would be violating the temple's rules. At best, this would dishonor him as a servant of the Lord. At worst, it was probably still a plot to get him isolated and attack him. And Nehemiah's gut reaction was to say no. He'd got nothing to fear, and he didn't need to break the rules. Then he thought about it, and he realized, actually, this friend had been bought by the enemy. He'd been paid to try and lure Nehemiah away. And again, he prayed to God that he'd be vindicated and that his enemies would be punished. It can be so hard to discern God's will sometimes. Without an audible voice giving us specific instructions, we can find it hard to listen to God's voice and to know how he wants us to act. But I believe the closer we are to God, the more used to his voice we'll become. If we're walking closely with the Lord, as Nehemiah clearly was, God can and will speak to us clearly. And sometimes it's through that gut reaction that Nehemiah obviously got and helped him to make his response. And then we'll be able to discern the right course of action to take. Even after all of these attacks from his enemies, Nehemiah still faced opposition and trouble. But he stayed focused on God. He prayed to God for help and he discerned God's voice so he knew what to do. And through his perseverance, the wall was completed. But that wasn't the end of the story. Quickly, he established the choir to help the people in their worship of God. He assigned work to the Levites to help teach the people more about God, and he put gatekeepers in place, and he provided roles for people to parade around the area in order to provide protection. Not only had the wall been built, Nehemiah had also begun to establish a community for God. As we take inspiration from Nehemiah this morning, I really want to encourage you to persevere in your faith. Even if you aren't facing them now, there will be all kinds of distractions, challenges, and trials that face each of us throughout our lives. But God is sufficient to help us through each of them. Stay focused on Him. Ask for His help and learn to discern His voice. Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for your word to us this morning. And Lord, I pray for each one of us that you will help us to hold on to you and to persevere. Lord, I pray for those of us whose faith has been rocked with the pain or the difficulties that we are facing at this time. Help us, Lord, not to isolate ourselves from you, but to turn to you for help. Help us to hold on to you and to receive your strength. Lord, for those of us who know what it is to be lied about, for people to bring us down, to gossip about us, to misrepresent us, Lord, give us the strength to shake off the dirt and to step up, to hold on to you and to continue to live in a godly and righteous way. And Lord, for each of us, whatever we're facing in life, help us to learn to hear your voice, that we can continue to obey you and glorify you in all we do. In Jesus' name, amen.